I'll never forget it here at BC, man. We don't come in to get in our time of worship. We are here to give and to express our thanksgiving to Him who is forever, man. This is not a time for us to be takers in our time of worship. It is biblically our time to give thanks and to give praise to our Almighty God, and His Son Jesus Christ put Himself on a cross on purpose for us that we would have everlasting life. Don't ever mistake that I come in here to get and worship. But isn't it amazing we have such a loving God that in the midst of His presence there is joy and there is peace and there is a release in His presence, and it's so beautiful and so powerful. But man, what a moment this morning as we've just come together to explode in hallelujah to our great and mighty God. Come on, welcome to Believer's Chapel. Man, I hope that you've had such a great week. Man, we've had a great week, great weekend for men's retreat. It was crazy. Matt, go deep. Come on. That was unbelievable. His face got smushed by metal, and I think the metal bar bent a little bit because he's so strong. I think they had to redo the whole metal piece because his face, which is firm and strong, bent the piece of metal. It was incredible. But it was probably one of our best men's retreats. It was just so incredible. So many new guys, and just it was awesome. It was awesome. Anthony Sherlock is the big winner of the Euchre tournament, which is always a highlight. And we're pumped to just see new faces, and we're pumped to see new men who really want to honor God and live their lives in a sense of what it means to be a vessel for honor, sanctified. It means set apart. And you come to this place to be useful to the Master. That was the message this weekend, to be useful to the Master and know what it means to honor Him and live an honorable way that would honor Him, to be sanctified, set apart, useful to His service. Man, a powerful, powerful weekend. It was so good. Huge thanks to John Sheen. He oversees that. He killed it. Unbelievable. The time that he's got, truly he's gifted to put events together. It's what he does. And he does it just flawlessly, man. It's incredible for our man Johnny. He oversees our men's ministry, and he's just brilliant. And we are so blessed by him and just his time on that. So, and then, you know, we could get into a whole long list of the chefs and Tom and Steve and everybody who was in the kitchen who donated so much time in cooking. And we had, they bought 70 steaks. I mean, we had steaks for dinner. It was unbelievable. We always eat like kings at these things, man. It's just awesome. But again, I just want to say thank you for being a part of Believer's Chapel and being here this morning. And, man, I was walking around the beginning of service. I was walking around outside and just praying and thinking and looking. And parking lot is full. And we still have room to go in here. And I know this is busy season starts actually in about 3 weeks for church. People are still out of town. College students are still not yet back. Just wait until mid-September. We are hoping to get more of our parking lot extended for more good parking. We're excited for that. So that's in the works. We're hoping that is able to be done this summer. As summer's kind of coming to a close, we're excited for that. But there's just a lot of things happening. We're so pumped that you would find yourself. Man, every week I consider you truly a guest, and I'm so pumped that a guest would show up to this house and be a part of Believer's Chapel. And we celebrate you this morning. Have you been here for 10 years, or if you've been here for 44 minutes? Man, you're a guest in this house. We want to honor you and celebrate you for however long you've been here, man. I thank God for you. I thank God that you are here today, and I believe there's a purpose of you being here and our worship of Him. Man, we're a simple bunch, church. God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who would send His only begotten Son to die on a cross so that you and I, in our sin, would be able to be forgiven and walk in a place to have eternal life through Jesus Christ, God's Son, and the sacrifice that He did for us. Knowing all of that, God and His Son deserves to be worshiped. And we believe the Word is the absolute truth. And if you want absolute truth, church, we're worship, but we're a church, which means we don't waver, we don't add to it, we don't take away from it, we believe it. And we walk as followers of Christ, means we live out the truth. And man, I'm so pumped that you're with us. And we've been in this series, man. We've been in this series called Train Your Brain. This is the last week. Last week of this was supposed to be, I think, about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But we just kept going and just studying this and preparing for this. It's kind of turned into our summer series. And it's been one of those things that have been really just, it's been healing for people. It's been a series that would bring healing to a mind. It's a series that truly would do a work of healing within one's spirit, because our minds are connected to our spirits and connected to our hearts. What starts in our mind, eventually it's going to make its way, if not dealt with carefully, it's going to make its way to your heart. It's going to make its way to your spirit, and then it's going to make its way to your actions. So this has been such a series that truly has been healing for so many, in regards to the things that we think on and the things that we allow to sit into our mindset. And what does God say? Listen, you got to remember, man, God is the one who created the brain. And he created it powerful. Man, it can make you or it can break you. And he tells us things that we ought to think on. He tells us where we ought to go in regards to our minds. And just the big review of this, because this is last day on this, the big review of this is to know when to allow a seed. Everything that sits in your mind is a seed. It's going to either grow and bear good fruit, or it's going to grow and bear bad fruit. Either way, it's going to grow. Unless you become a professional seed plucker. And you come to a place and say, that is not sitting in my head. Nope, that is a lie from hell. Nope, that is not true. Nope. And you just come to a place to be truly a professional spiritual seed plucker, say, that's not sitting in my head. And this morning, man, I've been waiting to preach this. Because, again, you got to remember, this was my close. This is the big finale about 3-4 weeks ago. And we get to come to a place today to read some of the most powerful words in my heart that have been blessed for me. And if you would turn, please, to Isaiah 26, you can turn to a few places. Isaiah 26 and Philippians 4. Isaiah 26, Philippians 4. And let's just pray and just ask God to move today. Because this is what I believe, man. I want us to walk out of this place different from when we came in this place. We don't play church here. We don't just add Sunday, check a box. No, I want Sunday to be your absolute favorite day of the week, because you've met with God. You've met with the community. You've met with a family. You walk in this place one way, and maybe you're in just a great season, but you walk out just full, like, oh, man, I needed that. Man, I am. Maybe you're in a rough season. You walk out going, oh, I'm full today. Man, I fed today. Man, we walk in this place and walk out this place different because of who God is. His word is alive and powerful. And we buy into that truth. And today, man, we come to a place to really see what happens in our heads. And what? Watch this now. Here it is. What you allow your mind to get stuck on. What you allow your mind to get stuck on. Come on, let's ask God to just speak to us this morning and join us and the preaching of his word. Father, we're amazed by you. We love you. We thank you. You are just awesome. And I hope, Father, that it is our desire that you are honored and worshiped today and you were lifted high. And the name of Jesus is exalted in this place. And we hope that you were blessed by our worship and praise and thanksgiving of you. Father, we owe you everything. Jesus, you are our King. And we honor you this morning, Jesus. We love you. We thank you for the cross. And Father, your word is truth. Your word is truth. It is set apart. And Father, even in this moment, in the short time that we have today, God, I just pray that you would just speak into our lives by your word. And God, we will walk out of this place just full, full, God, in Jesus' name. Come on, amen, amen, amen. Here we go. Come on, Isaiah 26, verse 3. I love this, man. Highlight this, mark this, look at this, memorize this. The steadfast of mind. Here it is. The steadfast of mind. And the word mind here, it's referencing your intent. It's referencing your purpose. It's referencing your imagination. This is the process of your mind. It develops into our purposes. It develops into our intent. Like the intent to harm somebody, it starts in the mind. The intent to help somebody, it starts in the mind. What becomes your purpose? It all begins. This is the power of the mind, man. It all starts upstairs, man. It all starts right here. Your imagination, it all starts right here. So I love this, the steadfast of your intent, the steadfastness of your purpose, the steadfastness and steadfast, it means to be stuck. It means to be immovable, an object that can't be moved. Man, what is my mind stuck on? What is my purpose stuck on? Where is my intent? What do I get stuck on? Right? Watch this. Here it is, the steadfast of mind. You, again, this is us saying, God, you will keep in perfect peace. God, if my mind is stuck, where is it stuck? If it's steadfast of mind, God, you will keep in perfect peace. Why? Because he trusts in you. So is our mind stuck in what it looks like to trust him? Best day, average day, worst day. Great news, no news, bad news. Season of life, man, we're in just an amazing season of life. Marriage is good, finances are good, kids are amazing. Average, like, life is life. Or you come to a season and say, man, just life has just been a struggle. We're in a difficult season right now. The steadfast of mind, you will keep in perfect peace. I love that. So what happens when your mind gets stuck on peace? What happens when you say, God, even in the midst of a great season, man, I don't want to get too arrogant in that great season. I still have to give you thanks for the season. God, in an average season, God, I want to come to a place to just have that peace. I want my mind to get stuck on peace, even when it's just, it's okay. It's not great. It's not bad. It's just middle. God, I'm just struggling. God, I need your peace in this season that I'm struggling. Like, what happens? Watch this now. What happens when you get stuck in either yesterday, today, or tomorrow? Like when you realize, where am I stuck? Where is the steadfast of mind? The steadfast of mind, you give perfect peace because he trusts in you. God, I want to walk in this place to trust you no matter what. God, and in my trust of you, in my dependence, trust it means to depend on, to rely on. In my dependence on you, in my trusting in you, in my relying on you, the God of all power and might, the God of all creation, the one who knows all things, the one who always goes before me. You know every inch of my life. You know every moment before I do. You knew the moment that I would be born. You know the moment that I will die. God, you know everything of my life in between. And I just need to come to a place to rely and trust in you. What happens, church, what happens when the steadfast of mind gets stuck on his trust? And in that, you, I love it. It's a peace from him. You will give perfect peace. It's a peace that comes from God. John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, listen, guys, he's talking to his disciples. He's like, guys, I'm out of here. And his disciples just, they were clueless, man. They didn't get it. Guys, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. And it's to your benefit that I go, for the helper is going to come. But in this, in verse 27, John 14, he says, listen, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave to you. Not a peace that the world knows. It's a peace the world doesn't know. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Isn't it amazing that you and I, when we really understand the depth of by his spirit, he reigns and dwells within us, there is a peace that we can tap into in any certain, listen, he's talking to the disciples who are about to go through some of the worst persecution. And he's saying, listen, guys, hey, my peace that you've seen in me for 3.5 years, that peace, no matter what was taking place, I had this calmness within my soul, tranquility within my, this is Jesus speaking, that peace, my peace, I give to you. Not in the way the world would understand it. But it's my peace that I leave with you. Man, don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Just what happens if you parked your mind? What happens if your mind didn't get stuck in yesterday? And what is yesterday for people? You know what yesterday is for people? Yesterday is the past regrets. You know what yesterday is for people? Yesterday is the bad choice that we made 10 years ago that we just can't get over. Yesterday is the offense that we just won't release. Why did you? They did this. And you, I mean, when you talk about it, you think it happened yesterday and it happened years ago. You're like, dude, you got to get over that. Did this just happen? No. Did this happen yesterday? No, when I was 12. Ooh. Like, what happens? But church, we have so many people who get stuck on yesterday, the past, regrets, hurts, pains, offenses. And we just get stuck. And our mind just keeps going to yesterday. What happens when your mind gets stuck on today? Like, today can be filled with worry and anxiety. Today, your mind can get stuck on the pain of today and the worry of today, and anxiety can build. Now, what happens if your mind gets stuck on tomorrow? Well, you know what tomorrow is? Tomorrow is the unknown. We have so much people that get so concerned. And it's a head game, church. It's a head game. It's the power. Listen, the steadfast of mind. God, you will bring him perfect. Why? Because he trusts in you. The steadfast of mind is one who trusts in him. And in that trust to him, it brings peace. So we look at even so many people get so angst about what happens tomorrow. Now, I'm worried about tomorrow. Well, let's think on today. Tomorrow has enough worries of itself. We come to a place where we so get anxious about the unknown. That's why Seek is so vital. Church, Seek has been one of the greatest faith builders, I think, as we get into the Word, as we get into our time of worship, to really give God the unknown. God, I don't know what's going to happen this month. Next Sunday, his Seek, it's going to be powerful. I don't know what's going to happen this month, but you do. And in this moment, in my time of giving you the first Sunday of the month, I believe that you will be walking with me every step of the way. And when anything that takes place of the unknown, God, I'm banking on it that I'm going to trust in you. Man, there is a rest that comes with that. Gang, it all. Watch this now. Watch this. Again, 26:3 says this, the steadfast of mind, God, you will keep in perfect peace. Why? Because that steadfast of mind trusts in you. It depends on you. It relies on you. It doesn't rely on itself. It's not looking at its circumstances. It's not looking at yesterday. It's not looking at today. And it's not looking at tomorrow. It's just truly looking to you, God. And in that, I'm banking on you. I'm trusting in you. Watch this. Watch this. Verse 3 or verse 4 says this. Trust in the Lord forever. I love that. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. I think that covers it. Forever. Church, we don't really get a pass. Well, there's a season. I don't really need to trust in the Lord in this. No. Forever. Every moment. Every moment I trust in him. I breathe because of him. I trust in him for my next breath. I trust in him that he's supplying oxygen to my body. I trust in every what happens when you come to this place to really understand what it means to trust in the Lord forever. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. For in God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. I want to turn real quickly to Psalm 62. It'll be up on the screen. Psalm 62, verse 8 says this. I love this. It says this. Trust in him at all times. Trust in him at all times. Is there a time that you're not supposed to, in the best season, are you still supposed to trust in him? Because the tides could turn quick. In just a season that is just like, it's okay. Or when the struggle really hits, and when we're just really struggling, man, you come to a place and say, God, I need to trust in you at all times. Look at what it says. It says, pour out your heart before him. Just what happens when you truly come to this place to be very real with God in your spirit, and you come to this place to honestly just, and David is great with this. When you go through the Psalms, man, he tells God who he's mad at. He asks God to take people out. I'm not sure that's a great idea. But he actually says, crush their skulls. Like, wow, David, a little aggressive, man. But what happens when you really come to this place to trust in the Lord at all times and you're one-on-one with him and you know what it means to download and you know what it means to pour out your heart before him. And the word pour out, it literally means to spill over. It means to spill over. It means to pour it out from your soul and your spirit and your place of brokenness or tragedy or your place of struggle. Well, you can really, truly watch this now. What happens in your mindset that you begin to realize, you know, I can find myself being honest with God. I know what that means to truly be honest with him. And I can pour. I'm having a horrid day, man. This day is just, man, I'm struggling, God. And you just begin to download and you begin to pour out your heart to the Lord. Man, there is this relationship that is built that allows you to be honest with God because guess what? He knows it anyways. But in your pouring out your spirit and in your pouring out your heart and really communicating to God exactly where I'm at, it reminds you where you're at, and it reminds you to walk in his place to just trust in him. The steadfast of mind. God, you give a perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. Trust in the Lord forever. Man, I love this. Here it is. Trust in the Lord at all times. Pour out your heart before him, for God is a refuge for you. And the word refuge, it means a shelter. That God will be a shelter. When you come to this relationship, you in your mind going, I'm going to be stuck on peace. And when I'm stuck on peace, it's because I trust in him. And in my trusting in him, I'm going to pour out my heart to him. So we look at this, we see this, and man, we turn over to Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 4, and it's pretty amazing that we've gone through, I don't even know what week this is, to be honest, 6 or 7 weeks of this, and we haven't even touched on Philippians 4. Because I've been waiting for the end on this, because there's so much to look at. What does this look like? Can I ask you, like, even right now where we're at, in this exact moment, what has your mind been stuck on? That's a deep question, man. That's a serious question. Like, and I'm not saying talk to your neighbor about it. We're not having a counseling session. Nothing. I'm just asking you to be honest with yourself and say, where has my mind been stuck? What has been just stuck in my mind? Am I steadfast, truly, in trusting in him? And do I know his peace? If Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, man, I give it to you. Not like the world has. But, man, I'm giving you my rest. I'm giving you my peace. You can come to that place to have tranquility within the inside. If it's chaos on the outside, but yet I'm still on the inside, I'm going to be okay. Man, I can deal with all the chaos on the outside, but when I'm chaotic on the inside and I don't have peace, man, it's just not going so well. But what happens when you really come to a place, man, even in the chaos, even in the struggles, man, even in the troubled times, man, even in the winter season that I go through, man, I come to a place in all of that chaos on the outside, I find this peace within. And in that, I know that I'm going to be okay. So let me ask you, like, where are you in that? Like if we see it in Scripture, I'm buying into it, man. I'm buying into it. I'm believing that it's the truth. And you come to a place to say, I can have peace. Man, if my marriage is just not in a great place, man, I can still have peace. And then watch this now. Hear this, please. What happens when you start functioning from a place of peace? No, seriously. The struggling in the house. What happened when you honestly, you come to this place, say, man, there is chaos in my marriage. And if I allow chaos in inside, that's eventually going to come outside and it's not going to help the situation. What happens when I function from a place of peace? I function from a place of tranquility. I function from a place that really goes deep within. And in the midst of chaos, you know what my family's going to get? Peace. They're not going to get harsh. It's not going to be edgy. It's not going to be anger. They're going to get peace. You can't fight with peace. Isn't that amazing? You ever try to argue with someone who just functions in peace? Like, would you fight back? What is wrong with you? I'm good. I'm trusting the Lord. Walking in what I need to do. And I'm functioning from this place of peace. Watch this now. Come on, Philippians 4. I love this. Pick it right up in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What a powerhouse verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And this is Paul. He's writing this to the church at Philippi. He says, listen, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And everybody might be one who just, maybe we are like, well, Paul doesn't know what I'm going through. Paul's writing this chained to a wall from prison. So we really don't have much to stand on here, right? Well, Paul didn't marry the man I married. He'd have no idea what I'm going through. Paul doesn't have the kids that I have. He has no clue. Man, Paul doesn't have the financial issues. Listen, stop. Paul's actually chained to a wall in a prison and lost everything so he could come to a place to preach the gospel. You talk about a man who knows what's on the inside, that he didn't allow his mind to take root. He didn't allow things to sit in his head, to develop in his spirit, to develop in his heart. He's chained to a wall and he can actually literally encourage people to rejoice. Crazy. But he understood Jesus saying, listen, my peace, I leave with you. Listen, you don't have a peace like the world has. They don't know what that looks like. I think that some of the greatest light that we carry and some of the strongest testimony that we have is when we actually admit it doesn't always go great for us Christians. Sometimes marriage hurts and struggles. Sometimes it struggles with kids. Just because you're a follower of Christ doesn't mean that it's lollipops and gumdrops, man. It means we struggle too. Tragedy hits our house at times too. We lose loved ones as well. But what happens when the world sees you? in this level of peace like they don't know. Wait, you I lost a loved one and you lost a loved one, but you carry it so much different. Tragedy struck my house and tragedy struck your. It wouldn't be amazing if we stopped thinking that we're above and beyond the world, but we actually come to a place to live in this world, and it rains on the just and the unjust, and we struggle at times like the world struggles, but we have the Spirit of our living God in us, and in that, Jesus said, there is a peace that you carry that the world doesn't know. What is your mind stuck on today? Because my man here is chained to a wall, and he has the sense to say, rejoice. And these Roman prisons are just nasty. There's nothing good about them. It's dark, dungeon-like, and he's stuck to a wall. Hey, Sean, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Get it? Repeat. And then verse 5 says this, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Isn't it amazing that when and we're going to talk about this peace, isn't it amazing that in that peace there's this gentle spirit? When you come across harsh, angry people, I would say that they're not functioning in peace. Because I love where Paul is going here. Watch this. Look where he's going here. This is incredible. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men that the Lord is near. Watch this. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for, are we stuck in our yesterday? Are we stuck in right now today and our worry of today? Or are we stuck in the unknown that I just get so worried about? I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried that there could be an accident. I'm worried that there could be this. And I'm so worried. And there's people who just worry about things that will probably never happen. And they waste so much mind time on the unknown. And here Paul says, be anxious for nothing, for no thing. Be anxious for no thing. Here it is. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Watch this, verse 7. Here it is. And we're going to get into a minute on I think, what it really looks like to be thankful. What is it? Are you a thankful person? Are you one who knows what it means to give thanks in everything? What does it look like to truly be someone who is thankful? Thankful people are a joy to be around. We'll touch on that in a minute. I want to finish this because this is so good. This is so good. Verse 7 says this. Let me back up and reread because I got sidetracked here. Hold on. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Watch this. Look what verse 7. For the peace of God. But the peace of God. What? That surpasses all understanding. Now listen, you have a peace that the world doesn't know. It surpasses all understanding. And the peace of God, it will guard your heart and your mind. Look, we're talking about the mind. We're talking about that which sits in our brain. We're talking about that which we get stuck on. And I love that the Bible says the peace of God. The peace of God. And I love it. It's not a peace that we have. It's not my peace. When Jesus said, I'm leaving you my peace. The Bible says here, Paul says, it's the peace of God. Man, I'm tapping into a supernatural peace. Church, you got to get this. Man, it's not a peace conjured up by your emotions. It's not a peace conjured up by the way the world has peace. It truly is a supernatural peace that comes from Jesus, comes from God, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or all understanding. That peace will guard. And I love the word guard here. We're looking at, okay, what do I need to guard? It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. So this word guard is a military term. It means to put up a hedge so that nothing can penetrate. Listen, there is so much power to peace. And there's such an understanding to say, listen, I need peace. I need to walk in my best season. I need to walk in a mediocre season. I need to walk in a troubled season, man, in my struggle. But man, I want to do it when I have peace. I want to walk through this supernatural peace that I'm allowed, truly, given by God in Christ to tap into. And that, when I have that, you know what that does? I love this. When I'm walking in that peace of God, it guards, man. It protects. It doesn't allow in, man. It's a military guard. And it guards my mind in my heart. Man, what you let settle in your mind, it's going to get to your heart. And then eventually, once it settles in your heart and your soul, it's going to show up in your actions. So, man, this morning we come to this place to say, man, have I set up that guard? Do I know what that peace looks like? What is it right now? What is it this last week? What is it this last month or even 2019? What is it that you've allowed to just get stuck? Right here, church, right here, right now. What is it that you've allowed to get stuck in your mind? Man, I'm going to be single forever. I'm never going to find a job. I'm never going to find a spouse. Man, I'm just not good enough. Honestly, what is have you allowed to get stuck in your mind? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Finally, here it is. I've been wanting to preach this for 7 weeks. Finally. He says, hey, to close out this whole deal, he says, whatever is true. He tells us what should be stuck in our mind. Whatever is true. Come on, man. How many times do we lie to ourselves? Seriously. How many times do we lie to ourselves? Nobody likes me. Man, I stink. I'm just terrible at this. Man, I'm never going to pass. Man, I'm never, and we throw so many lies in our head. I'm never going to get past this. How many lies do we allow to get just stuck in our heads? When he says, listen, whatever is true. What happens when we flip the switch? Say, no, man, I'm going to get stuck on that which is true. I'm going to get stuck on that which is honorable. Things, being a vessel of honor, we talked about that even this weekend, what it means to be honorable. I'm going to get stuck on that which is right. I'm going to get stuck on that which is right according to what God says is right. I'm not looking at public view. I'm not looking at popular view. I'm not looking at political view. I'm not looking at family view. I'm looking at God's view. Man, I want my mind to get stuck on what God says is right. Not what man says is right. I want to get stuck on what God says is right. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good repute or a good report or a good reputation. Something that brings dignity. That's what a good repute means. Something that brings dignity. I want to get stuck on that. If there's anything that is excellent or anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Get stuck on these things. Come on, last thought, and then we're going to close. And when we find it in Colossians 4, it says this. Let the peace of Christ, here it is again, third time we see today. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. And rule, you hear me preach on this because I think it's so valuable. The word rule, it means the arbitrator. It's the judge. How do I know when I'm going to be okay? But listen, church, this is how huge this is. This is how big this verse is. Let the peace of God be the arbitrator of your heart. Listen, I know I'm going to be okay. When I function from peace, man, that's the judge of who I am. I'm going to be okay. Why? Because I have this supernatural peace. Even in the midst of chaos, man, I'm going to have a peace that surpasses all understanding. Maybe the world can't comprehend why I function the way I function in the midst of tragedy, because I know the judge, the arbitrator of whether I'm going to make it or not is peace. That's so huge. We come to this place. Watch this. I love this. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let it be the arbitrator of your heart, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Here it is. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, watch as we did it today, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through him, God the Father. Church, what happens? You want to know what what I believe biblically and what I believe personally in my own life? When you understand what it means to give thanks in all things, in everything, give thanks. In tragedy, find a way to be thankful. Listen, in hurt and pain, find a way to be thankful. In your yesterday, in your past regrets, in your past choices, in your past hurts, in your past pains, find a way to be thankful. God, that was training. Listen, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be here today. If I didn't experience that hurt and pain, which God, you knew about, you flipped it. God, there was a switch that took place. I wouldn't be in the marriage that I'm in today. I wouldn't have the kids. But like, where can you come to a place to say tragedy, it really did turn into something that you wouldn't be where you're at today had that not happened? Where is our thankful heart, man? Where is it that we can come to a place in all things, give thanks? Listen, when your mind gets truly stuck on thankfulness, when your mind gets stuck on what we are called to be grateful for, I see plaques all the time. Be grateful, give thanks. That's great on a bathroom wall. That's great over the kitchen window. That's great as a bumper sticker. But what happens truly when it becomes real life for you? Don't lose your gratitude. Don't lose your thankful heart. Come to this place and dwell on a place to know what it means. My mind is going to get stuck on giving thanks. In every circumstance, I'm going to find a way to get why? Because the opposite's disastrous. No, I'm going to become bitter. No, I'm going to become angry. No, it didn't go the way I thought it should go. Man, this wasn't the plan that I had. And we can get stuck in anger. We can get stuck in bitterness. We can get stuck in yesterday. We can get stuck in truly regret. We can get stuck in offenses. We can get stuck in worry of things that'll never happen. What happens? What happens when you truly, truly allow the peace of Christ to come in this place? Sit into your mind, and then it begins to sink into your heart, and then it goes into your soul. In your very beginning, it begins to ooze with the supernatural peace. And you find yourself giving thanks for the most crazy things. And the peace of God, which will surpass all understanding, it will guard your mind and your heart. The steadfast of mind. Lord, you give perfect peace. I love where it's a perfect peace. Because he trusts in you. Why would you stand to your feet, please? Man, Brennan's going to sing. I love these moments at the end of service that you would just come to a place. Man, what has God by his Spirit spoke to you today, truly? Man, answer the question in this moment. Man, what has my mind been stuck on? Where is that shift got to come? What is it that you can grasp? Maybe you know that there's been past regrets, but maybe you know in that I wouldn't be here today. And even in a moment right now, there's a switch that takes place. Man, there's a shift to find a way to be grateful, find a way to give thanks in all things, and that you would come to a place this morning and say, God, I need to renew. Here it is. I need to renew my trust in you. And that's simple. And in a place to say, even in the midst of the song, you come in a place, say, God, I need to renew my trust in you, because when I trust in you, there can be this perfect peace. And in that perfect peace, man, I want my mind stuck right there. Right there. And I just renew my trust in you, that you just simply say, God, I trust you. I depend on you. I don't look at my circumstance. I'm not looking at my past. I'm not worried about my tomorrow. In this moment, I renew my trust in you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, I pray over every mind that's in this place that truly, as we've just devoured your word on this subject, that even this morning we leave this place saying, in my mind, I'm going to be stuck on trusting him. In my mind, I'm going to be stuck. No, God's got this. Nope, God's in charge. Nope, God, I release it to you. God, I'm going to trust in you. God, no, no, no. I know that you know all things. You're going to take me by my right hand. God, you go before me. You go before me. You go before me. You know my tomorrow. God, I'm going to rest in my trust in you. God, you've got this. God, you know that my past is forgiven. Man, regrets are gone. I come to this place to know that by the work of the cross, man, I am forgiven. Past is over. I stand before you cleansed, that you have renewed me. God, in this moment right now, I renew my trust in you, God. I renew my trust in you, God. I trust you. I trust you. My mind will get stuck on you, God, and I ask for that supernatural peace, that I will come to a place of find rest in my thankfulness in every situation, God. No matter where I'm at, I find my heart is thankful and it's full. God, in that, I will find peace, and it will guard my mind. In Jesus' name.